Lecture 13, Mental Spiritual Use of Stem Cells. Santa's Gift Program to Me, How I Train My Genie Stem Cells. Mental Spiritual Use of Stem Cells. Our points are, the concept of both mental and spiritual use of stem cells is through thought conductivity. The full display of illusion, imagination, visualization, dreaming utilize mental spiritual expression. The stem cells are there to be used, whether we use them beneficially or not. Stem cells are spiritually all and mentally flexible. The stem cells are programmable, efficient, and effective. Sounds like that should be very interesting, doesn't it? Yeah. The concept of both mental and spiritual use of stem cells is through thought conductivity. Now, what is thought conductivity? That's something that we think we know all about. We think we know all about thought conductivity, but it's bigger than we really realize. We have a statement and it says, thoughts are things. Now, what does it mean to say that thoughts are things? When we say that thoughts are things, what we are saying is that everything that exists is a thought. It's a thought revealed, expressed, outpictured, made manifest. Everything is a thought. Now, the reason that we want to emphasize this is so that we can realize it's through thought conductivity that all exists. Everything exists only because we have thought about it. Now, what have you thought about? What have you as thoughts that are going through your mind? What have you as thoughts that are going into your everyday affair that are manifesting themselves in your life? What are the thoughts that are manifesting in your life? What are the thoughts that are coming forth in your world? Think about it. Think about it. You think, I'm going to be on time for the meeting. I'm going to be late for the meeting. I'm going to enjoy the meeting. I'm going to be frustrated because I'm tired. I'm going to, whatever your thought may be, however tiny and apparently unimportant it may be, it bears a lot of weight in your experience. So when you think any thought, you have empowered the vibrations of the universe to reveal them. You've empowered the vibrations, the energy, the vitality of the universe to reveal your thought. Now, you sit in your chair and you think a thought. You think, it's a lovely day outside today. And then you look outside and you see the rain coming down and you see the lightning and thunder all about and you see all the inclement weather. And you repeat, it's a lovely day outside. You say, it's a lovely day outside. And in a few moments, the storm blows away. And it's a lovely day outside. Now, why wasn't it a lovely day outside when you first said, it's a lovely day outside? Because when you first said it was a lovely day outside, you were thinking it's not a lovely day outside. You were thinking that, oh, the weather forecast is for rain. The weather forecast is for all sorts of things. You're thinking these things. And you're empowering them. And you think that your thoughts are not important? Oh my. Your thoughts are very important. You say, well, I thought that it's a lovely day outside. It's a lovely day outside and the rain still kept coming down. That's right. Because you said, it's a lovely day outside and you thought the rain is still coming down. Now, can you take your thought from the rain to the beautiful, clear sky? and the beautiful sun. Can you take your thought from that? I don't mean doing it. I'm saying it this way because that's the way it's easy to say it. But can you take your thought from it to this? And the answer is no. You think rain or you think blue sky, and you do not think both at the same time. If you want blue sky, think blue sky. Only, do not think it is still raining. Do not think it is sure coming down. Boy, it's going to take a lot of change to bring about that blue sky that I want up there. You see, we argue with ourselves. We discuss with ourselves the utilization of the revelation of our thought. We discuss with ourselves how our thought is going to be brought forth with the difficulties that are appearing there. You're dying of cancer and your body's all shriveled up in a ball and you're nothing, but you're nothing. You're going to die. The doctor says 2 or 3 days and that's it. You're going to die. You're going to die. Well, can you, in this very difficult circumstance, can you visualize yourself playing tennis? Can you visualize yourself going dancing? Can you visualize yourself diving into the swimming pool in your perfect body? Can you visualize that? See, when you can train yourself to visualize what you choose to visualize, what you choose to have in your world, then you are the master. You see, now, we're not talking about how it's brought into being. It's the vibrations of the universe, the vibration of all the energy that is, and that vibration is the stem cells in you and all these other good things, but that's not the point. You, what do you do to bring about the desire of your heart? What do you do? What cause do you put in motion? What thought do you put in motion through, what do we say here? Through thought, what?
Conductivity.
It's as though the thought is a conduit, and it is bringing it from here to here. Our thought is revealing that which already is, and we want to reveal it in our life. It's revealed in many other areas, but we want to reveal it in our life. Now, how do we reveal it in our life? Well, that's our next point. The full display of illusion, imagination, visualization, dreaming, utilize the mental spiritual expression. Read that again. The full display of illusion, imagination, visualization, dreaming, utilize mental spiritual expression. Train yourself to be a dreamer. Train yourself to use your imagination. Train yourself to create your own illusions. Train yourself to create whatever it is you want in your life. Not what appears to be there. Not what other people say is there. Not what the news media tells you is going on in the world. You create what you want in the world. And when you do that, then what happens, Gertrude? Then it is done, right?
Yeah.
Your life is expressed. And that's beautiful. This is what it's all about. Now, we could have a seminar on just training ourselves to dream, to imagine, to think these things into being. Couldn't we? Mm-hmm. You said, yeah, wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. Well, for 30 years I've been doing that for you. For 30 years I've been encouraging you to dream your wildest dream. Be crazy, be outrageous, be stupid, according to what other people think. And do it. Now, we go back to kids all the time. Little kids will come in the house. Mama, there's a million kids chasing me. Well, now, Mama knows there's no million kids out there. But the kid doesn't. The kid, in his imagination, compounds one or two kids chasing him into a million. Now, that's great. That's real imagination. That's real wild thinking, isn't it? Now, you say, He doesn't really believe that, does he? Yes, he does. You know what I'm saying? Yes, he does. He does, and that's why he is frightened of it. Now, when his mother goes out there, and all, 998 of them went, 998,100,000 went home, and two stayed. And, you know, your mother said, "Well, whose dream was that? Whose? Mama's. That was Mama's dream. Mama had the strong, no million, two perhaps, you know, even two, maybe only one, but, you know, but no more than that. No more. Hey, there's not that many kids in the neighborhood. And how could a million kids fit in front of our house? You know, we'd have to have some great stadium and fill with a million kids. And where do the million kids come from? And when we're done with the million kids, where are they going to go?" See, that's the logical thinking that the mama does. And that's, you know, that's normal. But the kid, he doesn't care where they came from. He doesn't care where they're going. He just knows they're on his tail. And they don't, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. And so he says, "Hey, there's a million kids chasing me." Now that's imagination. That's imagination. Now, I want you to stop and think of this too. You've all read Richard Bach's book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, and you've read his book, Illusions. Both are rather exciting books. In each book, there was not one place where you felt something was not true. In each place, you read it and you believed it. You believed it, even though you knew it was not true. You knew that it did not take place. You knew that it was fiction, pure and simple fiction. But you read it and you believed it. You believed it. A lot of philosophers, including me, use illustrations from his books and use illustrations to point out philosophical points. Now, why don't we take some real thing, not just some fiction, to tell a philosophical point? Well, real things people don't believe. Now, I'm not going to say this is real or false, but I'm going to say to you, what do you believe? Moses went to Egypt, and because the Pharaoh didn't behave, he turned all the rivers to blood. Now, you believe that? That's what they said. That's what the Bible said. And then Moses was so pissed off at the Pharaoh, he said, "The angel of death is going to come over your city. And any household that doesn't have an X marked on it in blood, is, you know, from the blood of a lamb, will all, lose all their children." And hundreds and thousands of children were killed that night in Egypt. Interesting, huh? Do you believe that? No. It's in the Bible. You know? And then Moses finally said, "I'm getting out of here. I'm taking my people with me." And the Pharaoh says, "Go, go before I lose my temper." And the minute he said, "Go," he lost his temper. And Moses started going across the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh was chasing him. And so he says, "God, you told me you'd save us. Let us do it." And open moves the Red Sea. And Moses trucks through the Red Sea. There's no mud. There's no dirt. There's just a nice, smooth road going right through the Red Sea. And then Moses gets to the other side. And he says, "Thank you, God." And droop, plop, splash, all the soldiers that were halfway across the Red Sea got killed, got drowned in the Red Sea, wearing their armor and their horses and their bows and arrows and all that stuff. Do you believe that? Now, I'm not telling you not to believe it. That's not my intention. My intention is the statement that sometimes is made: truth is stranger than fiction. You believe the things that Richard Bach wrote in Jonathan Livingston Seagull more readily than you did the Bible. And it's very interesting. Now, if the Bible were written with the same style that Bach wrote, Illusions, you'd find it very... And then, what did Bach do? He had the Messiah's Handbook, remember? And what was in the Messiah's Handbook? All sorts of neat stuff. And all sorts of stuff that was taking place. But you see, this is what we believe it, and yet we know it's fiction. And the Bible, we know that it's supposed to have been real, and yet we don't believe it. Any thinking person can't believe it, you know. So, you have to look at the Bible like the kid coming in the house and saying, "Mama, there's a million kids after me." And the Bible, with all of its interesting stories, who knows? There's no reason that they couldn't have taken place. There's no reason that they should have taken place or did take place, but there's no reason that they couldn't have. We're not discussing the validity of the Bible. I'm just saying how a kid can come in and say, "Mama, there's a million kids after me," and he believes it, and the mama doesn't. Who has a stronger belief? The mama. Because they walk out the door, and she got rid of 998,000 of them. Remember? They're gone. Now, let's just pretend. Let's just pretend. And I know you love to pretend. But let's just pretend. D.C. was in Moses, as D.C. was in Egypt. And D.C. was challenged by God to get his people out of Egypt land back to the land of milk and honey. So what does D.C. do? D.C. says, "All right, Pharaoh, let my people go. God says they got to take them home." And the Pharaoh says, "D.C., no way am I going to let them go." And D.C. says, "All right." And he did all these things, and the Pharaoh says, "Go, go, go! You're messing up my whole country here." But then the Pharaoh was too upset, so he sent his men after D.C. And D.C. said to the people, "The sea is open, go." He got to the other side, he says, "The sea is closed." Now, who's D.C.? David Copperfield. Isn't that true? He can make buildings disappear. He can make the engine of a train, of a steam train, come onto stage right before all the people in the audience. And they can go up and they can touch it. I mean, he's quite a hypnotist. He's quite a magician. He's quite amazing. Now, do you think that Moses, perhaps, was the forerunner of David Copperfield? I mean, cool, huh? I'm not trying to belittle anything. I'm just saying, thoughts are things. Now, if you want your logic, maybe your DC is your logic there. You know? We fight it. "Oh, no, David Copperfield, no, ah, blah, blah, blah." Hey, that's what happens. The mind is a wonderful thing. And you can tell the mind most anything you want, and it'll believe it if you give it in the right way. You know? So, if you don't know anything about David Copperfield, you might look into it. It's kind of fun. He's the most amazing boy. And he is a nice guy. Oh, he likes pretty girls. He surrounds himself with pretty girls. He likes being a human being, but he also excels at being a magician. Now, we know Sylvia Bachman, yeah, and J.B. J.B., her boyfriend, was an ordinary grizzly-looking guy. He didn't like to shave, but he didn't like to trim his beard either. He didn't like to trim his hair. He looked like he looked. And and he was a professional acupuncturist and Reiki person, you know, doing these different programs. And they're all okay, you know. And so people come into his office, and he does his program with them, and many of them feel great results. Then, what does he do in his fun time?
He's a magician.
He's a magician. And he loves being a magician. He can take the flowers out of the hat, you know, and the rabbit and all that stuff. He does all those things. He does them very well. And he belongs to the Magicians Union over in, or Magicians, whatever, in Lugano. And we were with him in several of the restaurants where he was active. And amazing, amazing fellow. Now, as far as class of a person, as far as class of a being, a David Copperfield, he wasn't, you know. But he was effective because he could get people to see what he did. And he did it beautifully. I was at several of his shows, and it was quite an experience. And you didn't look at him. You looked at what he did. And even looking at what he did, you didn't see it. Because you saw what he wanted you to see. He was an amazing fellow. So, you see, when we talk about thoughts, and we talk about having them be expressed in our life, being revealed in our life, just what are we talking about? What are we expressing ourselves about? What are we thinking about? You see, the ability to display illusion, imagination, visualization, dreaming, to utilize our mental, spiritual expression, this is reality. Why did Jesus say, it is done unto you according to your beliefs? Why did Jesus take a dead man who was dead in the tomb for 3-4 days, stinking already? Because it's hot down there, you know? They had no refrigeration for them. And his sisters didn't even want to go near the tomb because, you know, the body odor, dead, dying body. And Jesus said, hey, come on, get off it. He's only sleeping. Oh, come on, Jesus, you know, where are your marbles? You left them behind. And Jesus said, no, Jesus didn't care. He had been called crazy by lots of people. First person to call him crazy was his mother. And his mother says, Jesus, you've always done a lot of nice little things around the house, you know. You set the table without even setting it. You put food on the table that we never dreamed we'd have. You did all sorts of good stuff. And yes, he did. They don't tell you about this because they're not trying to make him into a magic man. And this is what a lot of the messiahs, many of the messiahs were magic men, you know, people who did beautiful, strange, wonderful things, healings and stuff like that in their day. Well, they were merely magicians. We don't want to belittle the word magician by calling people magicians merely because they did magic acts, but that's what they were. And Jesus said to his mom, what wouldst thou of me? He said to his mom, it's done unto you according to your belief. He said unto Lazarus' sisters, hey, come off it. Your brother's not dead. We set this up ahead of time. He was going to die, and I knew he was going to die, and he knew he was going to die. But I didn't want him to die, because I like him. He's a good friend. And so, we're going to let him go to the tomb and appear to be dead. But he's only going to be sleeping. And so, Lazarus went in the tomb, and he was only sleeping. And as he was sleeping, he fell into a deep sleep and died. And he started stinking. He wasn't supposed to stink, you know. And so Jesus came by and said, hey, Lazarus, you blew it. Come on now. You're my part of my stage paraphernalia. Get with it. And so Lazarus, oh, excuse me. and he coughed breath back into his body and so on. That's just a body. Hey, if this person was cancer all shriveled up, ready to die, can in an instant change and be whole again. In an instant. Like Irene did, remember? That was not a joke. That was not a joke at all. She was part of a mystical miracle situation. She was part of Jesus beholding the miracles for the people, and the people didn't see it. You know? And Lazarus, once he came back, did his sisters ever say again that he was dead? That he had been dead? No. They said he only slept. We misunderstood. See, because Jesus put a new picture in their mind. JB, this interesting magician, Priscilla, an interesting lady, two beautiful beings, they play their game. They play their game. Why are they in Reiki and these other type of healing activities? Because it gives them the right and the privilege of working on people with their spiritual recognition, with their thought, to see them whole and perfect. You know what I mean? You do Reiki on a person who's sick and that comes to you, and people say, oh, that's okay. You're whole and perfect. The Reiki did it. Not them. The Reiki did it, you know? And that's okay. And this is why thoughts, being, learning to use your thoughts, learning to visualize, learning to put them in motion, learning to accomplish what you want. Now, just for the hell of it, you know, you want to be a billionaire, you want to have a perfect body, you want to have perfect relationships, you want to have a happy life, and you name it. It is done. But you can't have it unless you think about it. Unless you think it into being in your life. Not thinking against it, that you don't have it, but thinking it into being in your life. Now, this is the way the principle works. This is what every metaphysician who has ever expressed himself or herself has said. It is done through your thought. Now, we are learning that our mental spiritual stem cells work through our thought. Because they work through our thought to, and of course they don't judge. Your stem cells say, whether I'm a crook or a creditor, it doesn't matter, you know. Either way, I make no judgment. Judge not, lest ye be judged, for with whatever judgment you judge, ye shall be judged in greater measure, you know. These are all statements. Statements of philosophy, statements of religion. There was a girl, there's a man, I haven't forgotten his name at the moment. He's a horticulturalist. He works with plants and flowers. A very famous man. Did a lot of experiments and written up by a lot of people. Well, this man was at his home, and the home was spread out with beautiful flowers everywhere out on the outside. Just blankets of flowers over the hillside. He just was working very strongly in this. And he had a little niece that came to visit him. And the niece was maybe 7, 8 years old. And she said, Uncle, whatever, can I walk out in the backyard? And he says, sure, do anything you like. You're my niece, you're my favorite, you go do anything you like. Anything you like. So she went to the back porch and stepped off of the back porch on top of the flowers and walked across the flowers out in the field, not crushing one. And she came back, and when she came back, her mother and a few other people were there and saw her come back. Ah, what's going on here? This is impossible. This is wrong. This is wrong. This defies nature. This defies God. This defies all. But the horticulturalist, he wrote about it. And he said, it is what we are divinely designed to do. To be one with all of nature. Not to necessarily walk on the flowers, but walk over the flowers. Jesus didn't walk on the water. What did he do? He walked over the water. Which is even more interesting, isn't it? We think of water having some substance, but he walked over it. He didn't really walk on the water. He walked over the water. And what did Jacob do when he went into heaven? Remember? You're not much Bible scholars, are you? But Jacob went to heaven. And he climbed this ladder into heaven. It wasn't a ladder. It was a staircase. And of course, it depends on who's writing the story as they interpret it from the Bible. But they have him walking up walking up this wonderful staircase with angels standing at every step and walking up there just into heaven, you know. And it's glorious. What an illusion. Now, can you imagine what an effect that has on people? Can you imagine what effect that has on people who don't have television, who don't have radio, who don't have Dreamcatcher, DreamWorks? You know what DreamWorks are? DreamWorks are software that you can do anything with. DreamWorks is the software that they use in the great motion picture studios to do background programs and ghosts floating around and all sorts of neat things. It's great. You can have it for any computer you want. It costs about $800, but it's a nice software if you have any use for it. But DreamWorks, it's really fantastic. And the Indians had a word for it too. They called it Dream Catcher. They had this net that they made to catch their dreams, because they believed that their dreams, and their dreams usually were what they wanted, they won the battle in their own dreams. They wanted to capture these dreams and hold on to them and live with them. You're exquisite people. You are ripe and ready to put these things into motion. You are ripe and ready to apply this to your life and to apply it to your world and apply it to everything right now. Wholeness, perfection, harmony, peace, right action. Every area of your life, any area. But you got to have some imagination. You got to have some, that is, if you want to do it constructively. Now, if you just want somebody else to dream for you, that's okay too. But if you want to dream for yourself, you got to have some imagination. Now, the person who wrote Jane Eyre, charming stories, real people in it, but the things she had them do were her imagination. She went up into her attic and she wrote until she finished the book, not telling anyone what she was doing, and did a great job. And they say of Walt Disney, which I find humorous, they say Walt Disney was afraid of mice. And what is one of Walt Disney's most famous characters? Mickey Mouse. I think they maybe overstated it a little bit, but it's charming, and it's perhaps quite true. He was afraid of mice. And, well, he should have been. They took him right to the top. But this is glorious. You saw a little bit of it on the cartoon the other night, remember? This mouse character dancing on stage, big old hearts pumping out of him. That's done with DreamWorks. Those hearts flying out. But it was done with DreamWorks and with artwork. You know. But it's beautiful. Beautiful. Now, okay. Let's go on to the next point here. The stem cells are there to be used whether we use them beneficially or not. Now, each one of us have within us absolute genius. We can do anything at any time we want. You're not born to be a Mozart. You're not born to be a great painter or a great writer or a great whatever. You are sparkled into it at some point along the way. You don't think of yourself doing it. Mozart didn't think of himself as writing his music. He just wrote it. He didn't think of himself as being a composer. He just composed. He didn't think of himself as being different in any way. He just was. Now, what about you? What area would you like to excel in? What area would you like to let go and be? You know? Have you thought about it? And the answer is N-O. You have not thought about it. Because, Anita,
yes.
If you thought about it, what would be the case?
I'd do it.
You'd be it.
Mm-hmm.
If you thought about it, you would be it. Now, why are you not it? Besides the fact that you are it. Why are you not revealing that genius that you are? Why are you not revealing it? That's true. You am that genius that you am, but you're not revealing it. Why are you not revealing it? You're not revealing it because you haven't placed it into motion in your thought system. You had a wishful thinking that you could. You know it. You would not want something if you didn't think you could do it, right?
Yep.
Now, do you want to be president of the United States? No way. Do you want to be the head of any organization that you got to take care of people? No. Do you want to run the world?
No.
No way. Do you want to be yourself and have fun?
No. I am.
Okay, I am. But am you? Are you? Are you really yourself and having fun? If you are yourself and having fun, nobody can intimidate you. You know? If you're yourself and having fun, nobody can make you feel insecure. You know? If you are yourself and having fun, nobody can take away the joy and the delight that you have in life. The only reason they can take it away, and they can't take it away really, but the reason that you think they can take it away is that you are not confident in yourself. Your thought is not on it. Now, how did this mother, this dastardly mother, this uncouth, undesirable, miserable mother, take away 998,000, 100,000 of her son's people who were chasing him? How could she do that? I mean, what a terrible thing to do. Just think of how his consciousness had to be to build that up. How he had to really be tuned in, and she whittled him down. And then she whittled him down further and made friends out of the two that were left. But see, how did she do it? Come on now. How did she do it?
Believing in herself.
I'm sorry?
Believing in herself.
Yeah, she did it by her thought. She had a thought when he said, "Mom, there's a million of them." In her thought, she thought, perhaps one or two boys are chasing him or something. And that was her creation. Now, he dreamed his thought. Maybe it was real for him. I'm sure it was. But when she came along with her logic and her reason and her balance and her conviction and her age and her placement in the family, Mama, she said, "Son, let's go take a look. Look, son, there's only two there." She created that. She created that. You do that all the time for other people without thinking. Now, I would like you to do it for yourself. And how do you do it for yourself? You do it for yourself by determining what your thoughts are going to be. Now, I'm going to make this statement, which is the hard statement. How do you hold a thought contrary to the illusion or appearances that you're facing? How do you hold the thought that you're whole and perfect when your body is racked with pain and illness? That's tough. That's tough. Now, since none of you seem to be willing to answer that question, I will give you an answer. When you want to take Irene, for instance, and say, "Irene, you can have any decision you want. You can tell your body, I'm going to live," and you can live. Now, Irene, what do you do? Well, now, what's Irene's first thought, which is part of her healing?
"I have a chance."
What would people think if I didn't live? See, already she was thinking of living. You follow me? And what would people think if I didn't? So she's already thinking of this. You know, she's already living in the Zukunft. Already she's living in the what is to come. And as she's living in that, she's already living with the thought that there's a possibility. Not only a possibility, but a good possibility that she could live. People find it very difficult drawing me into their world in their last hours, because I tell them, you've made a decision. Now, you can back out of it any time, or stay with it. Oh, I got to stay with it because I've told people this. I've made my decision. You know, I made my will. I got to go. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. What difference does it make whether they get whatever you have in your will or not? You know? What difference does it make? Nothing. What about you? What difference does it make to you what you're going to do now? How are you going to live your life? How are you going to fulfill your purpose? For Irene, it was a matter of, okay. And then when everybody came in and said, Grandma, Mom, you're going to live, you're going to live, you're going to live, you're going to, you know, building up that consciousness wonderfully. What did Norman Cousins do? He laughed his head off. He laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And what did the laughter do?
Another attitude.
Another attitude, another world, another universe, another attitude. He had a whole new way of looking at himself. He didn't know that. He only did what he was sort of told to do. Amazing. If you guys could do as I tell you to do, I'm not doing anything to hurt you, but if you could just do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it without any question, you'd have miracles. But you can't do that. You want to judge me. You want to say, but if I did that, that's what you do. No, no, no. If you do that, what's going to happen to you? If you do that, what's going to happen to you is you're going to wake up and say, wow, I am my own master. Not that I did something, because you don't ever think that. I'm not saying you are not allowed to think that. I'm saying you don't ever think that. If I were to lay my hands on you and heal you, you would say you did it yourself. You would not run around telling the world that Herb did this. You wouldn't. Do you know why you wouldn't? Because for the rest of your life, you have to live with yourself. And you don't want to say, Herb healed me. You really don't. You don't want to say, Jesus healed me. You don't want to say, the doctors healed me. The doctors merely put it to right, I healed myself. Really. When you talk to somebody who's had an operation, and you say, well, how is that condition? Oh, it's all perfect. Everything is in divine order. I feel just fine. Do they ever mention the doctor's name? No. Do they ever mention the hospital they were in? No. That they were sick, they might mention. And that they are now well, leaving to your consideration that they heal themselves. That's what people want to do. And that's good. But now, let's take it to the next step. Anybody, what's the next step? Heal yourself. Use the doctors, if you will. Use the medicines, if you will. Do whatever is necessary to keep you alive. But then heal yourself. And you don't heal yourself by continually thinking about the old problem. You heal yourself by thinking about the new problem. No, by thinking about who the new person is that you are. Thinking about the beautiful being that you are, the whole and perfect person that you are. You know? It's wonderful. Are you ready for that? If you're ready for that, then apply it. Okay, now. Stem cells are spiritually all and mentally flexible. The stem cells are programmable, efficient, and effective. Mm-hmm. Okay, now. We can say stem cells. We can say thoughts. We can say all these different things that we wish. But what is it that really heals us? What is it that really brings us into our wholeness? Does anyone have any idea? Yeah?
Knowing that I am. Is that a feeling more?
Well, you see, when you know that you are that wholeness, and you are the allness. But I'm saying, what brings you into that? You see, if you knew that, poof, you'd have nothing to do. But what brings you into it are these illusions, are these imaginations, are these thought powers. That's what brings you into it. Now, when you have a desire, for instance, Sylvie wants to know about some software problem. And the computer says, I won't play with you, I won't play with you. And so Sylvia says, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill you. So she takes out her dagger and jams it in the computer. Is that what you do?
No, I don't have a dagger.
You didn't have a dagger. So and what Sylvia does is she says to the computer, all right, if you won't behave, I remember when you did behave. That was last month, on the 2nd. You were behaving well, and perhaps other days. But so, what do you do?
I restore it.
She restores it to its original purity and integrity. And sometimes that doesn't work. And so what does she do then?
Then she reformats it.
She restores it to its original purity and integrity by dumping everything that's on the computer, formatting the disk, and bringing out the original software and putting it back into shape without any of the upgrades. The original software. And then she types on, she says, oh, I'm so happy with this. This is how I'm familiar with it. Everything works so good, so easy. She doesn't have all the sophistication of the upgrades that came with it, you know. But she goes back to her original purity and integrity. Now, can you do that? Well, where do we keep the original disks? Where do we keep the original purity and integrity? Where do we keep the button that says restore?
Our inner safe.
Yeah, but don't make it so elusive. We keep the inner button for our restore in saying, I am now restored. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a simple statement. I am now restored. I am experiencing my original purity and integrity. Just simple statements. It's unbelievable, but that's good. That's good. Because when it's unbelievable, then you don't try to judge it. Do you know that some people went to Lourdes in France to be healed, and they went to Lourdes on their knees? Who told them to go on their knees? Nobody. They had something inside of them that said it. Now, why would something inside of them say they should go on their knees up these many steps to the whatever? Why would that be? Because they feel they must cleanse themselves and suffer. They must get rid of all of the badness in them. And that flagellating themselves up the steps is what's going to help them. And then they get to the top and they're healed. And you think, my God, if that's the technique you got to use, I'll use it, you know. But now for the next person, it doesn't work. For the next hundreds of people, it doesn't work. Why is that? And this guy didn't believe himself going on up there, you know? What happened? How did he get healed?
Because he believed that if he would do what he heard to do, he would be healed.
And if he believed for somebody else,
doesn't work.
And that's what people want to do. They want you to lay hands on them, and it doesn't work. Yeah. People are so strange in playing these games, but they play these games because they think that that's the technique that works. Now, let's just go back to Jesus' statement and hear what it had to say again. Anyone want to tell me what it was?
What wouldst thou of me?
Yeah.
He only sleepest.
What?
He only sleepest.
No. Anybody else?
Oh, it is done unto you according to your
belief. It's done unto you according to your belief.
Well, it's not one, it's the other.
How simple, yeah. But that's true. Now, I think that Sylvia is making a joke out of our thing here, and I think that is just perfect. But that's what we should do. We should make a fun thing out of the stuff we're doing, because that's what it's all about. There's nothing sacred here. There are no sacred cows here. Just a smelly dog, that's all. Yeah. And he loves to be by you, Christina. You must have a good snifter. You turn it off. Rex, how come? Where have you been? Now, our last statement here that we have, stem cells are spiritually all and mentally flexible. The stem cells are programmable, efficient, and effective. So, when we realize this, that they're spiritually all, and they're flexible and programmable. What do we do? How do you program your mind? Christina? Well, Rex, did you have the answer? Christina? How do anybody? How do you?
Affirmations.
They learned how to read my lips. Affirmations. Okay, now, you program your mind with affirmations. Now, Anita gets into her car, turns on the key, and the car starts. But on the way to the car, Anita says, I'm going to have a wonderful trip in my car. I'm going to drive my car. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. My car is going to take me there, and it's going to be such fun. What's Anita's expectation? The car works. So, affirmations merely build up in us the attitude that the car works. Build up in us the attitude that whatever the affirmation is, that it works. Now, you'll hear a lot of people using affirmations, and they want to get so complex. They want the affirmation to cover so many things. They want, I'm whole and perfect, my mother's whole and perfect, my dad's whole and perfect, my sister's whole and perfect. Forget it. Why, Gertrude?
Because I am number one. I put the cause in motion.
You are number one, you put the cause in motion, that if you are whole and perfect, everybody's whole and perfect. Very powerful. We want to learn how to speak our words. We want to learn how to know the moment we speak it, it's done. Isn't that right, Rex? Rex, you're giving me very good attention.
Yes.
I must say, I'm quite proud of you. You're a most amazing boy. You had your breakfast, too. But that's okay. So, let's see. We'll shoot a little picture here. Rex? Rex? Rex! Thank you. Thank you. When I take your picture, then you turn your head away. Now, I'm going to make it a large one here. Here we go. Rex! Beautiful. Oh, that's lovely. See, when you have the chance to have it, take it. When you have the chance to take it, take it. When you have the chance to take it, take it. I am?
Number one.
Great. I am?
Number one.
Okay, I thought maybe I'd get a variety of things here, but I am? Gertrude?
I'm number one. Whole perfect, I'm whole perfect. I'm independently wealthy.
Ingeborg, what are you?
Happy. I like me.
There, very good. I like me. She always wakes up to I like me, and I think that's a wonderful thing to wake up to. Well, you have a lovely lunch, and just remember one thing. Mental spiritual use of stem cells is so easy, so simple, so wonderful, but you got to do it. So know that I love you, I love you, I love you.